Nerds. Welcome to episode 482 of the Professional Book Nerds Podcast, presented by Overdrive. Just Adam today. Jill is currently in the process of packing up her entire house because she is moving. So it is just me for today. So this is a whole week of just Adam. So boy, if you don't like my voice, I'm so sorry, because you heard me do an interview on Monday with Bill Konigsberg, and now you're hearing me offer a big old list of recommendations. I'm going to get into that in just a second, but if you want to get a hold of us, of course, always tweet at us at ProBookNerds. Find us on Instagram at ProBookNerds as well. You can email us at ProfessionalBookNerds@Overdrive.com. And you can go to ProfessionalBookNerds.com to see all the list of all the episodes we've ever done. We've got our whole backlog there. We've also got a bunch of really fun things you can do on the website. We have all of the literary bingo boards that Jill has made that you can share in your social media posts, and you can tag us in those. We have our Professional Book Nerds 2020 Reading Challenge. It's not too late. We've got 12 different challenges there if you want to tackle those. All sorts of fun stuff. I will ask just briefly, because we only do this every once in a while, if you really like the show and you've ever gotten some book recommendations from us that you've enjoyed, if you wouldn't mind giving us a 5-star rating wherever you listen to podcasts, we would greatly appreciate it. Also, if you want some swag, some merch, you can go to shop.overdrive.com. There's Professional Book Nerds t-shirts there. There's also Libby hoodies, and there's Libby masks and pop sockets for your phones, all sorts of cool stuff. So that is all there. And then just one more plug for the episode I did on Monday with Bill Konigsberg, author of The Bridge. Got some really nice feedback from a lot of you about that. But if you haven't taken a listen yet, September is National Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. And his book deals with teenage suicide and a lot of stuff around it. So I know that it's a pretty heavy topic, and I definitely appreciate that not everybody is able to read about that. But if you listen to the conversation, I think it was really, really insightful. And again, the book is handled with a lot of class and care.
My name is Cindy Burnett, and each week I interview at least two traditionally published authors on my podcast, Thoughts from a Page. We talk spoiler-free about their books, so you can listen whether you have read the book or not. And then we delve into things that you most likely won't hear about anywhere else. The importance of the cover design, why they included various aspects of the story, personal details about both the books and the authors' lives, and so much more. You can find the podcast on every major platform and learn more about it on my website, thoughtsfromapage.com. Thanks so much for checking it out.
On to book recommendations for today. So, you know what's really, really terrible, guys? Everything. Life is hard out there. It's depressing, and it can be hard to find reasons to get out of bed and reasons to smile. And a lot of us are looking for ways to escape. So I hope there's some people out there who appreciated my early 2000s pop punk reference with the name of this episode. It's a song by Reliant K. So we're going to talk about escapism books today. So all the books that I have recommended here, I have broken them up into categories because we're quite extra around here. The first few are books or a series that you very likely may have read in the past, but I have a special version of that recommendation. And then I'm just going to bop around and give you some reasons for why I think each of these books are great for escapism. And just kind of forgetting the dumpster fire that is our world right now. A lot of us are still social distancing and quarantining ourselves at home, not leaving very often, but you can always open up a book and fall into another world. So that's what we're going to do today. Some of these books have been mentioned a few times here and there on the podcast, whether it be 3 years ago or maybe 3 months ago, but I did my best to offer some new ones as well that we haven't ever talked about, and then just new versions of them as well. Okay, that's it. Let's do this thing. So the first four that I have are book series that I'm pretty sure many people have read already, but I have special versions that I want you to check out. And these are all going to be audiobook recommendations. So the first one is just The Lord of the Rings, you know, The Fellowship of the Ring, obviously J.R.R. Tolkien. I'm not surprising you if I tell you about this book set on Middle Earth in this series. But the one that I want to really focus on is there's an audiobook version, and a lot of libraries have purchased it. It's the audiobook, and it says dramatized in parentheses. And the reason that I want you guys to focus on that one is because the people who put this together, it's a BBC Radio 4 did a broadcast of this, and it just has so many famous people in it, that, you know, Ian Holm and Sir Michael Horton and Bill Nighy. I love listening to dramatizations of famous books because it feels like I'm listening to a radio play, and it just changes the experience entirely. You know, there's voice acting going on, and there is just a ton of really, really cool versions and takes on the various characters that I think you'll really, really love. So if you look at the dramatized audiobook of The Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring, it's a lot of fun. And then along those same lines, these first, I want to mention these ones that I'm talking about that are series. The reason I say that is because it's been tough for me to think about things to look forward to. And so I've been trying to do things like listening to series where I know when I start a series, I've got, you know, lots and lots of time to look forward to spending in those worlds. Same thing with like looking at long books. You know, I know that sometimes people can get scared of an 800 page book or, you know, a 24 hour audiobook type of a situation. I've been looking forward to those lately because I know that I'm going to be able to spend a lot of time in those worlds. So that's why I'm starting with series here. So the second one is The Golden Compass, His Dark Materials series, starting with The Golden Compass rather, by Philip Pullman. Again, if you grab the audiobook of this and it'll say that it's narrated by Philip Pullman, that is because Philip Pullman is the main narrator, but then much like The Lord of the Rings, it's a dramatization where all of the characters are played by different people and they have sound effects. And again, it's like if you close your eyes, you can literally see this in your brain. And it's just like being taken away and forgetting that you're in your family room or your kitchen or going for a walk. Maybe don't close your eyes if you're going for a walk, but you know what I mean. It's, you can close your eyes and you're put into the world that Philip Pullman has created. You know, the TV series was really great, the first season, but I think this is even better. And just, it's nice to know that you've got, for this particular series, you know, there's 5 books overall now in His Dark Materials, but this main His Dark Materials series, Golden Compass, The Subtle Knife, and The Amber Spyglass, all of them are done by this group dramatization. And it's just delightful. And it, again, it gives you a new experience. Gives you new experience with the book that you might not get otherwise if you were to either listen to a single narrator or if you were to read it yourself. Another example of this is The Chronicles of Narnia, which are narrated by Kenneth Branagh. And same thing, it's just knowing that I have a book series to look forward to that's 9 books long, it's just very soothing, and you can get lost in a world that, you know, whether you were there as a child or you were there, you know, recently, C.S. Lewis created this, you know, fantasy allegory that I think is truly, truly special. I perhaps, you know, there's different ways that you can read the books, but I always start with The Magician's Nephew, which is, you know, chronologically the first book in the series before getting on to The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. But Kenneth Branagh is just, his narration is delightful. He has one of those voices where it's melodious and rich and almost velvety, and so quite enjoyable. And then the last one of these 4 is a Series of Unfortunate Events by Lemony Snicket. The actual author is named Daniel Handler, and if you are interested in hearing him talk on the podcast, I interviewed him last year on episode 372. But if you've never read A Series of Unfortunate Events, it is a little bit, you know, of a darker children's series, but it's just a really, really fun and like unique take on these children whose stories, you know, they're orphaned at a young age and they go and live with this just horrible person who's trying to kind of steal their family's wealth. And there are, I think, 13 books? Yeah, there's 13 books in a series of unfortunate events. But even if you've read them 100 times over, if you've never listened to the audiobook, the narrator is Tim Curry, who, you know, just global icon and legend and cherished gift, Tim Curry. Again, it's a whole new experience. So this is just my initial serve into the escapism books we're going to talk about. But if you haven't read The Lord of the Rings, His Dark Materials, Chronicles of Narnia, or A Series of Unfortunate Events in a while, highly recommend checking out the audiobooks of all of those. I'll link in the show notes the specific ones that I'm referencing. And like I said, they're the most popular versions of the audiobooks. So your library will almost certainly have them if you open up Libby. But it's just a nice way to spend some time with familiar voices and familiar stories. So, okay, moving beyond those, I asked on Twitter last night before I recorded this, what are some of the escapism books that other people enjoy? And I got a bunch of people that said Ready Player One, which is a very wonderful escapism story. But I feel like we've talked about Ready Player One so much, and I want to try to provide book recommendations for people while they're listening to this episode that they wouldn't likely have listened to as well, or read rather. If you're a fan of Ready Player One and you're looking for that way to like fall into a video game style world, I'm going to recommend the Otherworld series by Kirsten Miller and Jason Segel. Yes, that Jason Segel, the actor. But it builds out this world where, much like Ready Player One, you can leave your body and you can kind of give in to the desires you've always wanted to be able to perform, or things that you've always wanted to do in like a video game type of a technology. So it obviously, again, much like Ready Player One, there's a lot of nefarious things going on, you know, involving the people who built this technology. But what it does is there's no screens, there's no controls. You don't just like see and hear things. You also taste and smell and touch them. And there's this new reality where you can kind of be anyone that you want to be. It's this virtual game. It's extremely addictive. And then the main character's name is Simon. It's the start of a series. Again, it's very, very similar to Ready Player One in the sense that it's a virtual reality game. He goes in there, he goes on this quest within the virtual reality game with a bunch of characters who are really, really fun and really enjoyable. And they are very colorful characters. And then as you go on, you meet some mysterious evil characters and you find out who they are. And it's really good. So again, if you're a fan of Ready Player One or even like Westworld, something along those lines, I think you'll very much enjoy Otherworld by Jason Segel and Kirsten Miller. And again, the nice thing about this one is, much like the other books I've recommended so far, it is a part of a series. So there's a couple of books in there. Someone else mentioned when I asked on Twitter, there was a number of different people recommending Neil Gaiman books. And I agree. I love, love, love Neil Gaiman. And so I wanted to give a recommendation there. I didn't want to do one of his like most popular books, which is tough because every book that Neil Gaiman writes is extremely popular. You know, there's Norse Mythology and American Gods, which are really, really well known. But what I wanted to focus on is Neverwhere, which is one of my favorite books of his. It's a story that is told in a world that is beneath the streets of London. It's almost like a mirrored London. There's another version of London beneath London, and it's like this labyrinth of magic and fairies and darkness. And it reminds me a lot of, if you're a fan of Hellboy, the second movie, there's like a kind of a goblin market type of a situation here. But much like some of the other books I've mentioned before, I am going to recommend the audiobook of this, and specifically the one that I link in here, because again, it's a BBC Radio full cast dramatization. And there's nothing quite like an experience of hearing the whole dramatization there, especially this one, which has Benedict Cumberbatch and Christopher Lee and David Schofield. Plus there's like 25 minutes of additional material that isn't in the book, which is great. But it tells the story of this character named Richard Mayhew, and he performs an act of kindness at the very beginning, and then it transforms his entire life from a very ordinary, straightforward life into this strange world of London below. He meets this Earl. He faces a life-threatening kind of ordeal at the hand of these people called the Black Friars. And he comes face-to-face with what's known as the Great Beast of London. And he even encounters an angel named Islington. Probably Islington. And he's accompanied by this mysterious person named Dor and her companions. And it's just, it's really fun. I mean, it's Neil Gaiman, so it's very, it's an extremely well thought out and well built world. It's beautiful. And again, so highly, highly recommend the full cast dramatization of that. Right before this, I was doing a recording of an upcoming interview with an author who is based in New York. And they were telling me about how, you know, they live in Manhattan, and they were telling me how strange it is to walk around the streets of Manhattan right now and to not see anyone. And I was thinking about the fact that I don't live in a massive city like New York or Chicago or, you know, but I do live in a pretty walkable city of Cleveland, just outside of Cleveland. And it is weird to walk around and not see a lot of people. And so I've talked about this book a number of times in the past, but I want to bring it back up again. So if you are a person who lives in a big city and you miss that like big city lifestyle, being able to walk around and seeing other people, or if one of your favorite things to do is travel to a big city and experience it as a tourist, Lillian Boxfish Takes a Walk by Kathleen Rooney is one of the best books I've ever read. And it's emotional and it's nostalgic, and it tells the story of Lillian Boxfish, who used to work on the 13th floor of West 35th Street. She was working her way in the advertising world in the 1930s in New York. And this is a time that Jill and I have talked about a lot. But she was very, very successful in advertising. And what ends up happening is we are set in the middle of the 1980s, and she's 85 years old at this point. But she's still as sharp and savvy as ever, but she's going through this experience that it seems like a lot of people experience when they get to be a little bit older, as people are worried about her. And she just doesn't like the idea of relying on other people. She still feels very independent. And so it's New Year's Eve, and she's supposed to go to this party. And so she grabs her mink coat, and she decides that she wants to take a walk around Manhattan. And so on her way to the party that she's going to go to, she encounters all of these different people in Manhattan, bartenders, bodega clerks, security guards, even criminals, children, parents. But what she does is, as she's walking along and having these experiences, she's also telling her life story. And so it's really a love letter to city life in general, but it's also like this portrait of this incredible woman who watched America change from the Jazz Age to the onset of the AIDS epidemic. She experienced the Great Depression. She experienced the birth of hip hop. And all of this is folded into this story about what boils down to an 85-year-old woman taking a walk around New York City, and what it ends up being is one of the best books I've ever read. So if you're missing big city life and just want a little bit more, that is a really, really good book. Lillian Boxfish Takes a Walk. Got two books for fairy tale fans as well. Both of these authors were on the podcast actually together a little while back. So it's Naomi Novik and Lainey Taylor. And they were on episode, give me just a moment to pull it up. I should have had this ready. Episode 259 with Rena Rosner. All three of them came on and talked about dark fairy tales with me. So the first one I want to focus on is Naomi Novik's Uprooted. All of her stories are just exceptionally built out worlds. They're fairy tales. They set up worlds where magic exists, and there's castles, and there's queens and princesses, and there's people who aren't to be trusted and are mysterious that live in tall, far off towers. And so what ends up happening, the main character's name is Agnieszka, and she lives in this valley, and there's a quiet village. But there is this corrupted wood. It's literally trees that are like very evil and they're malevolent. And what they do to stay safe is there is this cold, evil seeming wizard known only as Dragon that keeps the wood at bay. And what he demands for keeping them all safe is he has one young woman handed over to him to serve as his like servant for 10 years. And then the next like choosing is coming up pretty soon. And Niska ends up getting chosen because she's the main character of the story. And she becomes the kind of servant for the dragon, but then they have this very interesting relationship between the two of them that in and of itself would be a fantastic entire book. Like the, you know, of course there's more than there's that meets the eye with the dragon, and there's a lot of things going on with him that we don't know about until they start interacting over and over repeatedly, which is the two of them. That would be a great story in and of itself, but then it folds out from there into the end. I'm not going to give anything away, but discussing how they deal with the wood and the evil and the darkness that is in the wood, and how that all resolves itself is very much like a grim fairy tale, but it's beautiful and it's heartbreaking. And I think you'll really, really love it if you're a big fan of fairy tales. That one is a standalone, but if you're looking for one that is a couple books in a series, Strange the Dreamer by Lainey Taylor is a duology. It's Strange the Dreamer and Muse of Nightmares. They're both out now, so you can read them both back to back, which I did not have the ability to do when I read Strange the Dreamer, which, and I'm only telling you this because Strange the Dreamer ends on a bit of a cliffhanger. And so when I had to wait for Muse of Nightmares, it was quite heartbreaking. But it's an epic fantasy. There's this mythic lost city, and the main character's name is Strange, and he is very much Laszlo Strange. He's a very much a dreamer. He's a librarian, which obviously we love books about librarians. But he's always feared that his dreams, he's able to see things, and sometimes they come true, and sometimes they don't. But he's been obsessed with this mythic lost city called Weep. But it's halfway around the world and he doesn't know how to get there. And this opportunity presents itself where he's able to join this legendary band of warriors to go to Weep and understand what's happening there. So for 200 years, Weep has been basically cut off from the rest of the world. There is this like blue skinned goddess in Laszlo's dreams that he doesn't understand, and it all unfolds into equal parts. Like it starts off as a journey book where they're traveling to Weep, and then there is this lost city that they're in, and there's alchemy, and there's obviously magic, and there are demigods that we meet, and it's all encompassing. It feels to me, it reminds me a lot of the movie The Last Unicorn, but also a little bit of the movie Brave. There's something for everyone in this. And I listened to the audiobook, which I really, really loved, but I've also since read the book, and either way, the experience is just fantastic. I also got a bunch of responses for people on Twitter when I asked what their escapism books are. A lot of them said that they would be reading or rereading The Starless Sea by Erin Morgenstern. I have made my thoughts on Erin Morgenstern extremely clear on this podcast. I adore her, and The Starless Sea is the best standalone book I've ever read. So I didn't want to just say that was my recommendation. It is, obviously, read The Starless Sea. It's fantastic if you haven't yet, but I was thinking, and I was like, okay, what can I do that's sort of adjacent to that? And we've also had The Night Circus recommended endlessly on the podcast by our friends and people, so I didn't just want to say that. So this is a blanket statement. Read both of Erin Morgenstern's books. But if you have already read The Night Circus and The Starless Sea, I have two recommendations for you that are Erin Morgenstern adjacent. So these are both kind of more in the circus realm. So they're probably more Night Circus recommendations, especially the first one, which is called Geek Love, which was a National Book Award finalist actually by Catherine Dunn. So this one's a little bit of a darker too, just as a forewarning. So it's the story of this family. They are a family of circus geeks called the Benuskis, I think was how I was saying it when I read it. the matriarch and the patriarch, the mom and dad basically like kind of bred their own exhibit of human oddities with the help of amphetamine and arsenic and a bunch of other illegal things. So their offspring includes Arturo, who is an aqua boy. He has flippers for limbs. There's a crazy, and he has like the attitude and ambition of kind of Genghis Khan, a little bit crazy. There's Iffy and Ellie, who are Siamese twins. There is an albino hunchback, Ollie, who is one of our main narrators. And then there is Chick, who has mysterious gifts that kind of make them the family's most precious, but also most dangerous asset. And so the family takes their act across the kind of backwater small towns of the United States. And they inspire this fanatical devotion and also people who truly, truly hate them. To the point of wanting to kill them for what they are and what they do. And it's equal parts a look at society and how we view people that are different from us, but it's also a very Machiavellian sibling rivalry thrown in there. It makes you question, like, what do we consider freakish and what do we consider normal? What are people that we consider beautiful, holy, and all these different things? So, at its core, it's a family story, but there are so many other things going on that obviously are involved that aren't just about the family. So that's Geek Love. Again, that's for fans of kind of dark circuses and evil magic type things. The other one is called The Book of Speculation by Erica Swiler. This came out in 2015, I believe. And I guess this one is a little bit more Starless Sea adjacent. So there's this main character, Simon, and Simon is a research librarian, and he lives alone in this house that is slowly crumbling. His parents are both dead. His mom was a circus mermaid who made her living by holding her breath, and the irony being that she drowned in the water like that hurt his house looks over. His younger sister ran off, and now like five or six years earlier, and now she reads tarot cards for a traveling carnival. And then there is one day a book arrives on his doorstep that is sent by an old bookseller who purchased it on speculation. And it's water damaged and it's old. And it's this book log from an owner of a traveling circus way back in the 1700s. He reports all these like magical things that are going on, including the drowning death of a mermaid. And since then, generations of these mermaids, quote unquote, from Simon's family have drowned. It's always on July 24th, which is only a few weeks away. So he begins worrying about his sister. Is there a curse in his family? You know, what does it have to do with the book? And can he figure all this out in time to save his sister? So again, it's very much, you know, we love a librarian here, like I just said before. And this is a spectacular book that has that kind of whimsical, lyrical in things that I really enjoy from Aaron Morgenstern's writing, that it does remind me of that aspect where I can really get lost in the prose. And it feels like every single page of this book has some kind of quote that I would want to highlight. So that's The Book of Speculation by Erica Swiler. I'm going to keep moving here. I've got three more for you. And these are my witchy recommendations. This week was the first week of fall. Not that Jill and I haven't been celebrating, you know, October basically coming on since August, but three witch-related books that I think you will enjoy. So the first one is The Physic Book of Deliverance Dane. This is by Catherine Howe. So what I really, really enjoy about this book is there's a little bit of darkness in this one. It involves the Salem witch trials. So our main student's name is Connie. She's a Harvard graduate, and she needs to spend her summer doing a bunch of research for her doctoral dissertation. And then she finds out that she has to handle her grandmother, the sale of her grandmother's abandoned home near Salem. And she discovers this key, like this old key in a 17th century Bible. And the key contains this yellow fragment of parchment with a name written on it that just says Deliverance Dane. And it launches Connie into this quest to find out like who this woman was and figure out what the book that it's connected to is and how it's connected to her own life. And as she's doing this research, she starts getting haunted by visions of what Deliverance went through during the Salem witch trials. And she's worried that she might be more like tied to all the stuff that happened during the Salem witch trials than she realized. So it does go back and forth between the witch trials and the in like a modern time. So if you're a fan of multiple timelines, I think you'll really, really love this one. There's a lot of books that kind of do this. But this one, I think, does a really, really good job of it. So that's the Physic Book of Deliverance Dane by Catherine Howe. Moving on. I really wanted to just tell you to read The Legend of Sleepy Hollow by Washington Irving. But again, I'm trying to make sure that I give you books that either you don't know the story of or you are familiar with the story, but you want a new take on it. So instead of just saying, read The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, first off, read The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. But if you already have and you're looking for something somewhat adjacent to that, The Spellbook of Katrina Van Tassel by Alyssa Palumbo is very, I guess, adjacent to the spooky story of the Headless Horseman. So it's more historical fiction and romance than it is anything dark, but we have Ichabod Crane, obviously. He arrives in Sleepy Hollow. He's a new schoolmaster. But this story is told through Katrina Van Tassel's point of view. So they both love books and music, and they obviously form a friendship that quickly turns into a romance. Ichabod is really aware that he probably has nothing to offer Katrina because she's wealthy and he's just a school teacher. And she has a childhood friend turned enemy named Bron von Brunt, who is the suitor that Katrina's dad prefers. They have a secret love affair, Katrina and Ichabod do, all while praying that they never see the Headless Horseman, which is Sleepy Hollow's legend, obviously, until All Hallows Eve comes around and Ichabod disappears, and Katrina has to try and figure out what's going on and what happened. And I really, really like this one because it does adjacently connect to the Headless Horseman, but it doesn't always mean that it's something that's magical and dark. And I went into this book hoping it would be extremely close to The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, but I was delightfully surprised that it's more kind of grounded in real life. So in addition to being similar to The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, if you are a fan of those kind of American pastoral type of books that I've talked about in the past, I think you'll really like The Spellbook of Katrina Van Tassel. And then the last one of these that I want to recommend is more completely left turn. It's definitely like young adult, but it's the start of a series. It's called Revenge of the Witch by Joseph Delaney. There are a lot of these books available. Joseph Delaney wrote a number of them before his death, but the first one is Revenge of the Witch. The series is called The Last Apprentice series. It's also called The Wardstone Chronicles. But it's all about capturing evil witches and boggarts and ghosts. And it's just very, very, it's cool. I really like a young adult kind of creepy, story that is also really fun. So for years, there's old Gregory. He's been the spook of the county, riding to all these local villages and removing the evil from them. But his time is starting to come to an end, and he doesn't have an apprentice. So he's tried to have 29 apprentices, and they've all kind of failed. And so Thomas Ward is the only one that's left. And it's this story of Thomas joining old Gregory and learning the ways of, he's like kind of the spook's apprentice. He learns about evil and magic and how he's involved and how he's able to stop them. And it's just a really fun, it's almost like if you think of Buffy the Vampire Slayer or even like Power Rangers from when I was a kid, where it's like a bad guy of the week type of a thing. it's like each of these books is kind of like a villain of the week type of a story where you get fully engrossed into the specific evil that is in that certain book. Mother Malkin is this evil witch in the particular first book. And so there's always this driving force of them trying to defeat the main kind of baddie of the book, but there's also these smaller stories that they're encountering along the way. So it's a really fun series, and the audiobooks of those are really fantastic as well. So that's the Revenge of the Witch, The Last Apprentice by Joseph Delaney. Really think you'll enjoy that. Okay, that was like 14 or 15 recommendations, I think. I hope some of those were helpful for you. I'm going to read from Twitter just a couple more of the responses that we got here. So Emily Harkins told us that she'll reread the novella Alpha and Omega by Briggs, or the novel Kiss of the Spindle by Allen when I need a comfort read. I got a bunch of Narnia people, of course. CJ Apolis said anything Star Wars, Moby Dick, Omnivore's Dilemma. That was pretty good. Aaron Tomlinson said all of them, ? I never reread anything. But to escape, I like dystopian fiction, maybe to remind myself things can always get worse, which is very funny, but a little bit dark. Roxanne, I'll definitely be rereading The Starless Sea, of course, absolutely. The Discworld series is extremely fun. Anything by Grady Hendrix, completely agree. The Soul of an Octopus, Matilda, Persuasion, The Night Circus, all sorts of really great stuff there. Any Jane Austen, and then The Gunslinger. So lots and lots of responses there. But I'll put all of them in the show notes, and I'll link to the tweet as well, so you can see all those different recommendations. If you'd like something else to kind of escape the world for a little while, again, just shoot us an email, professionalbooknerds@overdrive.com. Happy to provide all of those. I got a bunch of really, really great episodes coming up for you in the next couple weeks, bunch of amazing authors. Next week, we'll have our October book recommendations coming up for you. And yeah, hope you guys enjoyed listening to me pontificate on some escapism books for about 30 minutes here, it looks like. So, okay. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the Professional Book Nerds podcast.
Readers can sample and borrow the titles mentioned in today's episode from overdrive.com, and our library friends can purchase these titles in Marketplace. Professional Book Nerds is proud to be an Evergreen Podcast signature program. To learn about other Evergreen podcasts, visit evergreenpodcasts.com. Our podcast is produced, recorded, and edited by Adam Sokol and Jill Grunewald, and presented by Overdrive. For more information, visit professionalbooknerds.com.
I'm Allison Holland, host of the Kennedy Dynasty podcast. Equipped with a microphone and a long-term fascination of the Kennedy family, I am joined by an incredible cast of experts, friends, and guests to take you on a fun, relaxed, yet informative journey through history and pop culture. From book references to fashion to philanthropy to our modern expectations of the presidency itself, you'll see that there is so much more to Kennedy than just JFK or conspiracy theories. Join me for the Kennedy Dynasty podcast.